This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Live from the dungeon.
Just when you thought it was safe to put on a podcast, the legend continues. Place to Be Nation presents Freak Out Drive-In with Jennifer Smith.
My weapon is large for bodies, I'm strapped for battle. My soul is in the crossroads and highs fulfilling. Somewhere deep inside the spirit to rise the killer. I'm too distant to talk. My vicious assault is inflicted in parts to slit you a stick in your heart. I got nothing to lose and nothing to gain. Only way I'm dying is up in flames. I'm stuck in the game. Look at you busting your thing. Shots only get stuck in.
Hi, welcome to Freak Out Drive-In. My name is Jennifer Smith. Thank you for tuning in to the fifth episode of Freak Out Drive-In. Tonight, I am welcoming my longtime close personal friend, Tim Capel. We are going to watch a fantastic horror film from the 80s called Blood Rage. Now, you may have heard of this movie if you watched any of Joe Bob Briggs' Dinners of Death on Shudder. He was the inspiration for this episode. He recently did a marathon of four movies on Shudder over the Thanksgiving holiday, and I was first introduced to this movie from watching that, and as soon as I saw it, I knew it was going to be on this show, and I knew that Tim would be the one to watch it with me, because he and I enjoy fuck shit junk like this. It's fantastic. So, this movie is an enigma, really. There's some excellent gore, some of the best kills ever, some psychological tension, some just straight out campy comedy. It's a real mashup of styles, and it just works for me. You know, I'm not a discerning horror fan, okay? It doesn't take a lot for me to enjoy things. So, but Tim and I had a blast watching this, and it's great. We, unfortunately, there were some hashtag Southern Internet issues, but hopefully we've cut all that out. So, if something sounds off or whatever, just for a few minutes, you know, that's just us having internet issues. But Tim does a great job of carrying us through the movie and through those parts where I had to restart my computer. So, and make sure you stay tuned, like, towards the end of the show. I know a lot of times when you're listening to a podcast and they start wrapping things up, they start plugging their Twitter handles and their other shows, you probably turn it off. But, you know, there's a bit of an announcement at the end of this episode. So I'll just say hashtag mailboy and leave it at that. And just make sure you listen to the entire episode. I promise you won't regret it. Oh my God, we're going to watch Blood Rage.
We are going to watch Blood Rage, Jenny, not on Talkin' Pop.
Not on.
Although, you could be forgiven for thinking it's an episode of Talkin' Pop. Because,
right?
Yeah, it's Jennifer Smith and Tim Capel and no one else. But this is the Freak Out Drive-In.
I thought you were going to go Greg Phillips on it.
I started to, but then I kind of backed off it. You know, I thought it might have been too much.
All right, so I got to ask you. Before I ask you to watch this movie, had you ever heard of it before?
Yes and no, only because, and we can get into this too, I had very, very recently watched the movie before you asked me to participate in this.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I had watched this movie was because it was streaming on Shudder.
Shudder!
horror film streaming service that I would hope a lot of your listeners are familiar with, even if they aren't patrons. But this was in a somewhat unique format, right?
Yeah, like old, my favorite, and the inspiration for this podcast, Joe Bob Briggs. His Halloween marathon went so well that, well, it wasn't Halloween, I guess, was it? It was before.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing of it is, it was a Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th, that's it. I knew when I said it, it was wrong.
It was over the summer.
Yeah. And it went so well, like, it crashed everything.
Right.
Like, I planned my entire weekend around this marathon that they were going to do, like 13 movies. I was like super fucking psyched about it, and then could not watch. Like, I would get in sporadically, but it would always freeze up in the middle of a movie.
Yeah.
And I'd have to shut it all down and try to get back in, and then I couldn't. I was on the laptop, I was on the Roku, it was frustrating. So
yeah. You know, the funny thing to me about that was, we both kind of, I mean, we had the same experience, of course, of trying to do this, and mm-hmm. I don't think either one of us knew that we were both so into this thing. Like, we hadn't mm-hmm. really talked about it beforehand, maybe mentioned it offhand, but when it happened and we realized, you know, we could not actually watch this thing, we were both so fucking pissed.
I was really pissed off, and I tried to, like, sort of make a thing out of it, you know, and then, you know, I didn't get much participation. I'm kind of glad now.
Yeah, well, right. In a way, I mean, I don't want to say it helped, but to a certain degree, like, it certainly didn't help at the time. But looking back, you can see how that really sort of built the hype and got mm-hmm. a lot of momentum behind him, because clearly this streaming service did not anticipate the kind of demand that Joe Bob Briggs could still command in 2018. And this was, of course, that marathon was called The Last Drive-In. So mm-hmm. it was, what was it, 13 movies over
yep.
a 24-hour period, some mm-hmm. very famous, some you probably never heard of. But all presented in his inimitable style. And
exactly.
You started this podcast right after. I kind of had a hunch he was, you know, the inspiration behind that. And glad to hear that confirmed, because he's always been a longtime fave of mine as well.
I don't think that Shudder is the only one that was surprised by all of the turnout. I think Joe Bob himself was pretty surprised by it,
yeah.
and humbled by it, and he seems really into it, like really super into it.
He does. He's been very active on social media.
Yeah, he is. I just love him. I just love him to death. He's still super sharp,
mm-hmm.
you know. He's still super funny, just so knowledgeable, and just loves horror and has a great sense of humor about himself and everything else.
Yes.
I just don't get tired of watching him.
I don't either. And he's such a... I almost feel like we need to back up for a second. Or there might be people who don't know exactly who Joe Bob Briggs is. He's a film host, a genre film host, primarily the horror genre. But he's part of that whole drive-in culture that is very niche and has become increasingly niche over the decades and years. Had a show for many, many years on the Movie Channel originally, which I never saw. Did you ever see his first show?
The first one before Monster Vision?
Yeah.
No.
I didn't either. And I mean, this was back when nobody really had the Movie Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, I don't know if anyone has the Movie Channel even today, but
right.
I mean, I've seen clips of it on YouTube. They're not hard to find. It was just one of those, what do you call it? An interstitial show where
yeah.
he would just, you know, kind of book in the movie. He'd mm-hmm. present it at the beginning and then at the end sort of wrap it up, maybe do a funny segment. He's quite the character, of course, and got more in depth in the 90s when he moved over to TNT pretty much doing this. I want to say it was like even the same set that he started with.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a program most people would be familiar with, if they're familiar with him at all, called Monster Vision. And that started in 90. He started doing Monster Vision, which existed in some form or another on TNT, but he started hosting it in 95, I think. And that continued through 2000, although they changed the format in later years, and it wasn't really horror movie focused. It was just any and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was kind of my Friday night, and eventually Saturday night, they moved it. I can't remember when, but that mid-90s period, you know, when you're a kid, you don't really have much of a social life, of course. In my case, don't have a lot of friends.
Aww.
But still, you know, this was a fun thing to sit down and watch. He has this real folksy conversational style, and the mm-hmm. way he would just speak to you. It felt mm-hmm. like he was talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowledgeable. This is, of course, back before Wikipedia.
Right.
And IMDb. You can't Google anything. I mean, you can, you kind of have the internet, but you're relying on a lot of just secondhand sources to piece together the information that you have on some of your favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
And what would potentially become some of your favorite movies, because that program introduced me to some things I'd never seen before. So,
lots of things,
yeah.
that you haven't seen before or since.
yeah. And he's kind of this enlightened redneck.
A little bit.
I don't know how to describe it. He's this nerdy redneck.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
It's not a gimmick that normally appeals to me, but for some reason it does for him.
Exactly.
You know, like it works for him.
Exactly. And he's pretty unpolitically correct, but at the same time doesn't so step over the line into offensiveness. You know, like he's very self-aware of his persona.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is just something that's really gone out of style. I think the only thing that's really comparable to that today is maybe Svengoolie, who does a similar thing on Pop on, like,
really?
Saturday nights. Yeah.
Huh.
And, I mean, he's nothing like the Joe Bob Briggs character, but he does that whole thing of presenting movies, cutting in during commercials and stuff, like giving you fun facts and trivia. Not really a particular favorite of mine, but I do admire it just because I have a soft spot for that kind of thing.
Right, me too.
So, yeah.
It seems like a fucking awesome gig if you can get it, you know?
Right?
Watching
yeah.
movies and sit around talking about movies and performing. I mean, it's...
I have thought the same thing. Just what his average week must have been like in the 90s when he's putting together his show Monster Vision, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you got to look up some facts about this movie, so you're reading like old Fangoria articles, and you're calling your industry contacts if you have them. And I mean, it had to be a fun time for him, for sure. Even I mean, he would bitch about the censorship and the limitations placed on him by Turner Network Entertainment, and he would use some euphemisms that have become somewhat of a cult favorite for me, I guess, that maybe we'll get into as this thing progresses, because he can't say the real thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I just look back on the memories I have of watching Monster Vision and seeing him do pretty much the same thing today, and realizing how sort of sneakily influential he's been on me and
mm-hmm.
how I consume media and how I don't know, present myself. It's been sort of revelatory.
I love that.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was like that. That's awesome.
I didn't either.
And the reason that we're sort of doing this homage
right.
to Joe Bob is because, like we said, the format of this that we're watching on Shudder is he's doing this long introduction. From what I remember of this, he's talking about the popularity of the last time he did this
mm-hmm.
and their servers crashing and stuff like that. I actually missed part of this when I originally watched it, so I'm not sure what else he's disclosing here, but as the movie goes on, we'll have these periods where you and I will just have to kind of cover.
Yes. as we're doing now, as we started.
Because this is the way that the movie is shown.
Right.
You know, Joe Bob is part of it. He's
part
the beginning
this,
and,
yeah.
you know, sort of like kind of mini commercial breaks.
Part of the experience for you. So you might think, why aren't we talking about the movie? We are actually watching the movie as it is presented on Shudder. It's just Joe Bob Briggs is talking right now. So if you want to watch this movie with us, you'll want to get a Shudder subscription if you do not have it. Go to the Dinners of Death Marathon, which Joe Bob Briggs hosted. And this was the last one shown. It was four movies. This was the last one. He's doing the drive-in totals now for Blood Feast.
Blood Feast.
Blood Rage.
Blood Rage. Blood Feast is a good one.
It is
actually,
a good
title.
I think it's a different
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. what was I going to say? I was watching this over Thanksgiving, because I was like, I didn't get to watch wrestling because I had guests here and nobody would let me watch wrestling.
Mm.
So I was like, I don't care what y'all say, I'm watching this. And then of course, I got booted, back to the bedroom with my laptop. So then the next night I was like, look, I'm catching up with this marathon and y'all are going to watch this movie. I don't care. You can stare at your phone the whole time. I don't care. But I'm listening. I'm doing this. And they all ended up kind of watching it. And, like, I'm just cackling. Just dying. And they're just like, why are you watching this?
So, the first movie they showed as part of the Dinners of Death was the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It's a fucked up movie.
So, you subjected your house guests to this, I take it.
Well, that's when they booted me.
That's when they booted you.
Okay. They were like, no, because that was the first night. And I was like, fine, I'll go to my room and watch this.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, well, gonna go to my room. And then I didn't get to see the middle two movies, but I did, I think it was Friday night when I ended up watching this one. All right, now the movie's starting, yay.
Yes, movie is getting started here. So, he gave us the drive-in totals, which is a Joe Bob Briggs signature. We're not going to give those away. We want people to watch on their own and see the drive-in totals, which is statistics, basically, on how many deaths, what kind of deaths, how many boobs, how much nudity, just, the general tally you want to see when you're checking off boxes for a good horror flick.
I love how this movie is set in Jacksonville, Florida.
I was going to ask about that. So
yeah, it's, I don't know, something about North Florida is just unique.
isn't it the very, like, rednecky part of Florida? Like,
yeah.
That's part the South, like when you think of...
Yeah.
The U.S. South, it includes, like, part of Florida, at least, and the rest of Florida is just its own animal.
Right. It's like the Redneck Riviera. It's
gotcha.
Like, it's like the Mexico of Alabama.
Now that sounds like something Joe Bob would say.
This is great. So they're at an actual drive-in
right.
the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy goes to the bathroom and this kid tries to sell him condoms.
The condom salesman, you know who that is?
Who is that?
That is brother of Sam Raimi, Ted Raimi.
Really?
Yep.
Acting oh my god.
In this movie as a just this bit part looking goofy as hell as a condom salesman.
Oh god, so bad. But I mean, that's a great side hustle, Tim.
A side hustle. You did not side hustle. Trigger. I know you didn't say that.
I sure did. Selling condoms at a drive-in is pretty fucking smart.
Yeah, well, I can't speak for this. Well, okay, so the movie, we should say, was made in 1983, apparently not released until 1987.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't really notice that watching back today. I guess unless you're a really astute viewer, the 80s all sort of blend together after a certain,
mm-hmm.
you know, after a long enough time. But in 1983, would bathroom condom salesmen have been a thing in Jacksonville, Florida?
I gotta say, yeah. I mean, if not, it should have been.
Are bathroom condom salesmen a thing in 2018, Jacksonville, Florida?
I'm just saying they should be. I mean, if you need a condom in Jacksonville, Florida, I mean, you should be able to buy one from a guy in the bathroom.
Yeah. And now we're seeing these various patrons of the drive-in theater necking.
Mm-hmm. I love how they're all young until you get to our character here.
Yes.
And my first reaction was, who's this old bitch?
Thank you.
Because she's making out with this guy. Like, she's 800 years old.
Right.
So, with her kids sleeping in the back. She's in a station wagon making out in the front seat, and her kids are sleeping in the back.
Ugh. So, said old bitch is Louise Lasser, who was a wife of Woody Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Star of the sort of soap drama Mary Hartman, which I've never seen, but that's what
I
haven't told.
Either.
Specialized in having nervous breakdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Gets kind of typecast, and this movie probably has a hand in that, as we'll get
probably.
To.
Probably.
She is straight up aardvarking.
Yeah.
There it is. Aardvarking in front of her children.
Sure is.
No wonder they're making their escape.
Yep.
And these
going and finding the handy dandy axe at the drive-in, because
of course
that's just something that is usually laying around.
Just chilling in the back of somebody's truck. These are twins. Terry.
Twins. Creepy ass twins.
Yep.
Oh my god, I love this scene so much.
They're called Terry and Todd. So
Terry and Todd.
For maximum confusion, both T names.
This kid.
Yes. Terry has retrieved an axe. And they're making as much distance.
Oh my god. This dude has his penis inside this girl and gets his face axed.
For serious.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
He just gets it.
I love the gore in this movie.
The effects are really impressive in this movie.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love it. I was hooked. Like, at first I was like, I don't know about this movie. And then from that scene, I was like, this is for me.
Yep.
I said, me and Tim are going to watch this movie.
And you asked me, do you want to watch a shitty movie with me for free stuff driving? Complete with, the woman running out butt-ass naked.
Butt-ass naked. I don't blame
Let's
her.
Let's not sleep on that.
She will never be the same again.
Mm-mm.
So the bad twin has now framed the other twin.
Right, right.
For
wiped
the murder.
Wiped the blood onto his brother. I mean, how calculated. This is just
so... Oh, my God.
And the bad twin is, of course, Terry,
mm-hmm.
the good twin, who's in somewhat of a catatonic stupor, it appears, is Todd,
mm-hmm.
now holding the murder weapon, covered in blood. Terry kind of covered in blood, too, but he's telling everyone his brother did it.
Nobody believes him.
What a little bastard.
Mm-mm.
The guy all hacked to hell.
It's a genius opening scene, honestly. Like,
it tells you so much.
It does.
In such a small space.
And then we do the time jump.
We do a time jump.
10 years later. Old bitch is 10 years older now, so she's 810 years old now. And she wears her hair like a 4-year-old girl.
Right. Full disclosure, I thought this whole sequence was absolutely atrocious.
It's terrible. I love it.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I kind of love it too, but it is absolutely unforgivable. It is basically... Yes. So Todd has been... We'll just go ahead and blow through this. Because Todd has been committed to an asylum, right, for the past 10 years. And what we have here is the mother going in to make her, I guess, annual visit. She's bringing him his, quote, individual piece of pie. I think it's pumpkin pie.
Fucking pie.
She's bringing him some fucking pie.
Fucking pie.
And then they're going to do some caroling.
Some caroling.
And so what we get is this fucking long voiceover
so bad.
Exposition in a scene that is really just two people talking.
Talking. Yeah.
Like you couldn't get that across. Yeah.
Why? Why the voiceover? But I also kind of loved it because it's so fucking crazy.
It just makes you wonder, like, in the editing, was it just so bad? It was like, oh God, we can't fucking use any of this. We just bring her in to do a voiceover. We can't reshoot it. We don't have time. We can't get them back. It sucks. We can't put this together.
You know, that's pretty valid. I would not be surprised if that was the case.
I mean, it's hysterical. Like watching it, like on mute as we have it now, you would not think that there's a voiceover happening right now. You know, you got three people in the scene. At this point, Todd has entered looking very duder at this point.
And it's only been 10 years, so he's maybe, what, is he 18, 20? I forget. Do they say his age?
I don't think they ever said anyone's age.
But he looks like way older to me.
Yeah, he looks like late 20s or 30.
Yeah.
They do sort of establish later that... he and his twin are college age because Terry sort of talks about being in college.
He freaks out.
And this just goes and goes and goes.
It does.
Smearing his fingers into the pie and it looks like doo doo.
Oh, nice. Have you got to the football playing part? I don't think we're quite synced up.
We're not quite synced up. You're slightly ahead of me, but I'm
okay. I'm gonna go back 10 seconds. There we go.
There you go. I would advance 10 seconds, but I don't have that option on Shudder. So
yeah. Get it together, Shudder.
Seeing football now. Yeah, no closed captioning on Shudder. Maybe.
Yeah, that's making it a little bit
that
interesting.
Is one criticism. So, you know, if you, if you're hearing impaired or if you're just used to watching things with captions on, as I am.
Me too.
I will say, I think they're working on that. So.
And, you know, in a movie like this, the dialogue's not all that important, really. So you could suffer through it.
I mean, considering we just dispensed with some dialogue for a voiceover, I guess you can consider it pretty surplus to our requirements.
So he, the good twin, or quote unquote good twin, but in actuality the bad twin. What's his name? Todd.
So the bad twin who framed the good twin, his name is Terry.
Okay.
The actual good twin is Todd. I remembered by our executive producer, Todd Weber, is a good, not twin, but a good brother. How about that?
A good brother. Okay, gotcha. Thank you for that. It will help me.
Yeah.
He meets a girl, and she's wearing a tank top and no bra underneath. And when that scene came up, I asked the room, did nobody wear bras in the 80s? And they all just pretty much said no.
So, Mom has gotten it together now, found a new beau. They're living at this apartment complex.
Does it look like a retirement community to you?
Very much so.
Okay.
Yes. I am given to understand this is an actual apartment complex, still today available for rent, in Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I should visit Jacksonville.
You should. Yeah. Go check there. It out. Check it out. And yes, so we've got the mom. Here's the thing about, old bitch Louise Lasser. Like, she has that raspy, gravelly voice and kind of yellow teeth. And so it's very jarring to me to see her as anything but like a truck stop waitress with pineapple earrings. You know?
And a very intimate relationship with her son.
Yes, very suspect.
You know?
Relationship with Harry.
When she announced her engagement to old fuckface over there, he did not look too happy.
He did not look happy. He's putting on a show here, and it is Thanksgiving. We should stress.
Yes.
They are literally carving a turkey.
Oh, so much turkey gets carved in this movie.
Yes, there will be a lot of carving happening. But Terry, he's kind of preppy looking. Kind of this college
guy. Pop collar.
Got the pop collar going on.
Sweet mullet, kind of.
Here with his girlfriend. Her name is Karen, I believe.
I think so.
Yeah. And he's also there with a character named, I think, Julie, who they said was new in town. So they're sort of establishing the social dynamics, which they do a good enough job of.
I love the look of this apartment. It's it's just so perfectly 80s. The wallpaper, the drapes, the kitchen, the appliances.
All they need is a blue bathroom.
Ooh, with the ducks.
With the ducks, thank you.
With the ducks.
Thank you.
I remember that conversation, damn it. Yes. How? I don't know, but I did. It stuck in my brain. Oh, I love those little doors, too. Those little accordion doors over the bar. I think we had one of those growing up.
Oh, yep. Wow, that kind of takes me back.
Yep.
Good catch. So we've gotten word now that Todd has basically escaped from the institution. Not totally sure exactly how that works, but they have called Louise Lasser, the mother. She's told Terry only, no one else, says keep it quiet. And immediately upon sitting down, he said, "You're about to meet my insane brother." Who's escaped? He's an escaped mental patient.
And, you know, I don't know who this actor is, but he does a really good job at the dual role here. I actually hesitated when I said that because I was like, are they actual twins? Because I could buy that. Like, twins in this role, but.
Yeah, they look different enough. It's not like you really get them mixed up, even though it is the same actor playing identical twins.
And he does a really good job at being crazy as one and being, like, vulnerable as the other one.
Very doe-eyed as the innocent Todd who's been taken advantage of. Mark Soper is his name?
That's right.
Not sure if we'd be familiar with him from anything else.
I love this. I love the mother in this because she it just starts shutting down. Like, she just goes almost catatonic, you know.
A lot of the stuff with the mom, as we'll see, it's almost like a, it's almost like an anxiety dream playing out in real time. It's really, I mean, a lot of what we see in this movie is somewhat hokey. But the stuff with the mom, if they had really leaned into that more and this made this a different kind of movie, could have been very chilling and haunting.
Yes, yes, I agree. I mean, there's shades of that, but it mostly comes off as comical to me.
I'm there with you.
It's just interesting, her performance, especially later on, and we'll get there, but the fiance is very concerned and also trying to get laid.
Supportive, but at the same time horny.
It's a constant state of being for some people. Terry's doing his hair.
Crimping his hair, yeah. How about that?
And this guy.
Okay, yeah. We've got a heavy, I guess, dispatched from the institution.
He shoves a gun in this guy's face with his sleeveless hoodie.
And here comes mom rushing to the door with her tits hanging out.
Yeah, I know, right?
Falling
out. Her tits
out.
Do look good, though. For 810-year-old. They're holding up.
Oh, man. So, case of mistaken identity there. As Terry opens the door, gun in his face.
No, you're looking for my crazy twins, not me.
He's a twin, get it?
He looks like me, but it's not me. You know, I wondered about this. In the 10 years, how has there not been incidences, that would clue the mom in? Do you think the mom knows on some level that it's not him?
I think that that Terry's criminal and deviant activities and behaviors have really just kind of gone dormant
in this. Yeah?
Yeah, in this.
So you don't think he's been slyly hacking up neighborhood cats and squirrels and shit?
I don't think so. I think as long as mom has been there and available and a loving mother, that he's been able to keep it, under wraps, so to speak.
So he's just kind of breaking now with the engagement and then his twin being on the loose.
He's acting out, yeah.
And also, the twin knows the truth, so it might be, detrimental for him to...
Exactly. So we've got
for his way of life now.
Two major catalysts here.
Oh my God, I love this scene.
Yes, we're coming up on our first big, let's just say, effects scene.
Yeah. The mom's on the phone with the fiance, and I mean, she just increased. I love her phone scenes; they're so awesome. She's just. And he's trying to talk her down.
Right.
In his office, and. Little does he know that somebody's standing behind him with a giant-ass machete.
Giant machete. Yeah, all these people, they live in the same apartment complex, so there's a lot of back and forth between different apartments. Oh, the tension is rising.
Oh, my God.
He's going to enjoy him a beer.
Oh! He chops his motherfucking hand off.
Cleaves it right off.
Slow as fuck, too. I mean, he brings his arm up and slowly drops it down.
Complete with blood spurts and...
Oh, my God.
the hand still wiggling, clutching the beer on the ground.
Oh my god.
Great.
Why? Great, what is wrong with me? Why do I love it?
Oh, I marked out big time at that. So it was so unexpected. You know?
Yeah.
You knew he was going to get it, but it's the creativity that you're not ready for.
All right, so we've come to the first of Joe Bob's commercials, as we'll call them, I guess.
Right, his little cut-ins. Yeah, Shudder does not have commercials for their films, but they're sort of emulating the style, the presentation style that Joe Bob Briggs was known for. So, where a movie would ordinarily go into commercial, you get some Joe Bob facts and trivia, they just cut right to him. And then they go back to the movie. So, at this point, he is no doubt telling us about the troubled production of the film, about some of the actors, maybe some other projects they have done, and how they've potentially dropped off the face of the earth. So, you know, there's good stuff in here. He also gives you a lot of his philosophy about why he still does these things and what it means to him, and emphasizes the value in appointment viewing for things, which doesn't really exist anymore, right? You can watch anything on demand.
Yeah.
Got DVR. Yeah. And he's like, that's not what at least film going is supposed to be like. It's supposed to be a shared communal experience where everyone's having a shared emotional reaction to the same thing. You don't want to just set it aside and watch it on your own and tell people about it later. And he makes a good case for that.
He does. I can't argue with him. Honestly, as much as I love, having whatever I want at my fingertips at all times, there is something special about this. And that's part of, I think, why I love it so much.
Right.
And why I tried to, get other people, to watch this with me, because I wanted to have that shared experience.
And you've talked about how going to the theater is your happy place, right?
That's my most favorite place.
Your most favorite place. And to me, it's not so much about being around other human beings, kind of an antisocial bird, as you well know. But again, just feeling connected to people because you're still doing something at the same time, even if it's all around the world, which everyone's connected now, right? So it's easy to do, and that's why we got so excited about this marathon in the first place back in the summer that we couldn't actually watch. So,
right.
I mean, he also talks about how the Netflix model is just so soulless in the way it just throws stuff out there, de-emphasizes going out to the theater to see things, and I don't know that I entirely buy in and agree with that, but he makes a strong case for it.
Yeah, so. It's not going to stop me from watching. And also, you're on a on Shudder, which is...
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's like he can't lean into that too much, but he does make valid points.
Yes. So we're back to the movie.
Back to the movie, into the woods beside the apartment complex.
Mm-hmm. We're going to see a lot of these woods.
Yeah, and that... I love it. I love how she struggles through the woods.
Yes.
I love how this movie is lit. It's so bright in those woods.
Mm-hmm. And it's the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You can't see
There's
anything.
No darkness hardly ever in this horror movie. It's extremely bright.
The untamed wilds of Jacksonville, Florida.
Exactly. Oh my God. Another one of my most favorite kills.
Yeah.
I love every single kill in this movie.
The heavy from the institution is now taking a break to smoke a doobie.
Yes.
As you do. And Terry is still on the prowl. And here we go.
Just the most casual murderer I've ever seen in a movie.
He truly
just
is.
Just gonna walk around the apartment complex, interact with people, do just normal shit, and then just machete them.
No mystery, no real...
There's nothing. I mean, there's no anger. There's no fire. It's not scary. It's not a scary movie.
It's not, no. There are
and
moments
he's holding
of...
his fucking machete
behind his back, which we can see. We, the viewers, can see him holding this machete behind his back. The heavy who has just been stabbed through.
Oh my God.
He has been run through.
And then he just casually smokes the rest of the joint.
Yeah, stole his joint. How about that? Had no idea.
Just totally meanders.
Yes. The scene of absolute horror, blood everywhere.
It just leaves the body.
Yeah, he didn't really even get much blood on him.
No. He didn't. How did he not?
Did not even ruin his Izod Lacoste polo. I think it said Nike on it, actually.
No, I liked your version better.
It's 1983, come on.
Yeah. Oh my God.
All right.
Mama's there chowing down on leftovers.
This is great.
It's so good.
Yes, Mom has gone bye-bye. She is officially sitting on the floor, binge-eating Thanksgiving leftovers. She is stress-eating to her heart's content.
Yes. Just slowly, like...
Not even using utensils.
No.
In the way she was sitting, so squat on the floor. All right, so now we've got the... I guess the therapist, the psychiatrist, treating Todd in the woods. And we're not going to see right away what happens to her.
No, they saved that one. Mom pours herself a giant glass of wine while she dials.
Full wine, Mom. I love the little pause. Right? As she's filling up her glass, she stops and then goes... Okay, now there is so much to process. We have a torso now writhing in the woods.
Oh my God!
You just have to see this movie. We can't do it. We've got a torso that was once the therapist, and the lower half of her body.
She was broken in half.
She was broken in half.
He got some blood on him that time, but he licked it off, so it's okay.
Oh, and he gives us the catchphrase of this movie. That's not cranberry sauce.
Cranberry sauce. Oh my God. Not a blue bathroom, but a black bathroom.
Yeah, we got some black tile here. I was trying to remember if we had any bathroom scenes. Yeah, so not blue. That's too bad. Okay, Louise Lasser is now full-on Mom from Requiem for a Dream, stress cleaning.
Cleaning the oven.
What are we doing?
Oh my God.
Cleaning the oven, and we'll see her do some more stress cleaning as this progresses.
You know, I wondered if I would be as gleeful watching this the second time as I was the first time, and I've not been disappointed whatsoever.
If anything, I'm more gleeful.
I know.
Because I forgot how kinetic it was. Just
Okay,
now we're looking at the fiance propped up with the hand chopped off, dead. Just looking like he's very pensive at his desk.
Yeah.
It was a very quick
scene. Such an
odd
shot. She was trying to call him on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got the first, well, I guess the second of many phone scenes with with the mom.
She has great phone scenes.
Oh, my Lord. Terry is now hanging out, kicking it with the loose girl, the fast girl, Julie, who's making Bloody Marys.
Is that what she's making?
Yeah. She asks him if, she says she has vodka and tomato juice, so I don't know what else you do with that. He says he'll just have the tomato juice. What a square.
My God. Yeah. She is full on trying to seduce him.
Mm-hmm.
Tank top with no bra.
Yep. Yep. It's the
80s. He's like, you know what? I think I just want to watch TV instead.
He wants to Netflix and chill, literally.
Literally. He's going to shudder and chill.
There you go. We've got Karen.
This scene, I just couldn't even say anything after it. Like,
oh, yeah, this is very awkward.
It's extremely awkward. Like, not even, like, funny to me awkward. Mm-hmm. But just, like, it's sort of kind of stops the movie a little bit.
It's sort of cringe, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It will take you out of it. I mean, it gets the idea across, and I understand that. But the way it's shot, which we're seeing now, is like, how in the world could this happen?
Does it? And he, the way he reaches for her head, I don't know, it's just so weird.
Yeah, so Karen, who is Terry's, ostensibly, I guess, Terry's girlfriend, they're going steady, looking for him. She finds Todd instead, mistakes him for Terry, even though they really look nothing. I mean, they're not dressed alike. They don't have the same style. One has a very haunted look to him, and the other does not. So,
and she knew that the twin was loose, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So she had, this is information she has.
She figures it out, right, during the conversation?
She does, yeah. Well, she's telling who she thinks is Terry, her boyfriend now, I want you to take me to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of puts it in those those very couched 80s terms.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, I've never even kissed anybody. And she's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Steps out of the shadows, even though he wasn't really in the shadows.
She's very, like, likable and natural, I think.
Yeah.
Especially compared to the other characters in the movie.
Yep. Yep, she's very, well, she has the...
Wholesome.
Wholesome. Sort of. Wholesome is a good way to put it. She has the final girl look that you want.
Yes. And she's smart. She's not a dumbass. She figured it out.
She took off running. She's now meeting up with her friends. Freaked out. Explaining what happened.
In her white pants.
Her very white pants. Yes. A lot of denim.
These two knuckleheads are who again? Randos from the apartment
basically.
Complex?
They're just friends of her and Terry. They may be classmates. And one of them gets a little bit familiar with the other chick in this movie.
Right.
Which we're going to see later. But yeah, they're just kind of... They're just cannon fodder, really. One of them seems somewhat more important than the other.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean...
He's like, I'm going to beat this guy's fucking head in with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Is she... She does look, like, freaked out, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he... He's hugging up on her... Even though she's with Terry.
He's just putting the moves on her. He's just kind of like a scumbag type.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, they do have names. I'm sorry. They escaped me.
Yeah.
Now we are going back to the apartment.
What movie is this that they're watching? Do you know?
I think Joe Bob told us, and I want to say.
Yeah, he did too.
It was like the first film. Directed by this director.
Oh, was it?
Yes. And I'm sorry.
That's awesome.
I did not. I am not Joe Bob Briggs. I did not look up the name in the trivia of all these people.
I should have.
In any case, yeah, they're watching a movie and nothing happened. They didn't even have any.
He's not
petting.
Interested.
No, he's not interested. She was putting the moves on him. Not having it. And she's been babysitting for this, like, this is not her apartment. She's just babysitting the infant of this lady and the Nebushi guy that she brought back. So, more cannon fodder. Spoiler alert.
I love how exasperated she looks because she's just trying to get laid and this guy's a fucking square.
For real. I mean, he was kind of being charming over dinner, over Thanksgiving dinner. You know, a little bit flirting with her, talking her up.
Right.
And now he's just gone cold.
Yeah. What's the deal? I mean, she got all, you know, gussied up and gave him some tomato juice. What does a girl have to do to get some D around him?
Exactly.
In Jacksonville.
And how do you get some D in Jacksonville? I mean, how desperate does one have to be? She even, I remember the line. She said, he asked her what her major was. She said, partying.
Yes.
A minor in fucking. That line wasn't in there, but it's implied.
I like it.
Clearly implied.
Real quick, what's your timestamp?
I have got, my cursor will come up, 51:55.
51:55? Okay.
Do we have a time dilation situation where...
Yeah, I'm gracefully and hostfully doing that, but...
Okay.
Can you tell?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Again, we encourage people to watch with us on Shudder because if you're watching the movie just as the movie, there's just no way. With all the cut-ins with Joe Bob and everything, it makes it much longer. So, okay, Louise Lasser now pounding the wine pretty hard and now vacuuming.
And vacuuming.
Equally hard. I want to wear the red dress. I like thinking about the red dress and your brother. Okay, wrong movie.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yeah, so,
what's he saying? What's he saying to her? I forget in the scene because she looks so devastated.
She looks very devastated. I think he's just said that he's been out looking for Todd, cannot find him, and can she please just call the police or someone to get some help out here?
Well, she's going to get right on the phone.
Yeah, she's going to jump on the phone, and he says he's going to keep looking. I know she tells him to change his shirt and put a jacket on.
Yeah. Hmm.
I just saw her, because I can read lips, you see.
Oh, she said, is that right?
Find him!
Vanessa!
Now, the Vanessas are going to be an exclusive to... Actually, probably a hard-traveling family. Depending on when you're hearing this. Oh, now the dismembered remains of the therapist. So, she's...
God!
Todd has discovered her. He's trying to put her back together.
Oh.
Now, okay.
He's known her for 10 years, you know?
This is true. I seem to recall, weren't her arms chopped off, too?
No, I don't think so.
They weren't? Okay. I just remember
she was... Because she was flailing,
She was flailing, and I was like, are those stumps, or is it just... Okay. Because I was going to say, if her arms were chopped off, they're now reattached, because... This corpse very clearly has arms intact. So, all right, not a continuity error after all.
Oh, he sees the gun.
Yep. She was armed. He's taking the gun.
That was, you know, oddly endearing the way he picked up her body, lower half, and set it beside her torso.
Yes.
And here's little girl wandering in the woods at night.
Yes, a young child is now approaching this scene of absolute horror.
Yes.
He has intercepted her, Todd has mercifully, and sent her on her way. Told her to lock up, not let anyone in, no matter what. There's a very bad person afoot, and that will be paid off in very weak fashion later.
Yeah. Ah, another one of the Joe Bob break-ins.
Back to a Joe Bob break-in. How do you like all the knickknacks and his?
I love the set.
Little setup here.
I love it.
You know, it's not exactly Monster Vision, but it's sort of like
an extension of it.
Yeah, if it's 2018 and you're trying to evoke this very static. Like, never been updated, never been touched, never been changed trailer in the middle of nowhere. You're still using 2018 props.
Yeah. It's a little too shiny.
It's a little too glossy. Yeah.
Yeah, glossy. And, but still super cute.
And at the same time, I would bet that same complaint you could level against his Monster Vision setup in 1996, right? Like, to us, it felt very vintage and very old, but again, had to have been very staged.
Right, of course. And that, I think that adds to it. You know, it's part of the gimmick, you know, it's part of the drive-in sort of aesthetic.
Very much so. And, I mean, and part of his whole shtick as well is you would hear the crew just kind of backstage laughing, carrying on with them.
I love that.
Yeah, and they have continued that. So, I mean, it's the attention to detail that really matters.
It is. Because you can tell that he enjoys the reactions. You know, it makes him better when he can hear the laughter and get the feedback. And it just works. You can see him. He just... Oh, he looks so freaking happy.
He looks very at ease. Yeah.
He does. And just natural and like you could legit sit down and have a Lone Star beer.
Yes. Always a beer in hand with this dude. Yeah, he'd be very easy to just drink a beer with. Like, I'm not one to just be interested in ever like meeting celebrities. I don't really care about autographs or that kind of thing, but if I just had the opportunity to, like, have a beer with this guy, like, that would be the coolest thing in the world, you know?
It would be.
Because you wouldn't get starstruck. It's just not part of his aura. And you just have a, you know, you would have a good-ass time.
I think he would just, I feel like he can just talk to anybody.
And make them feel welcome.
Yeah.
Part of his appeal, with the shitty jokes that he tells, like he tells blonde jokes and redneck jokes and just those kind of those crappy dad jokes. But he has a self-awareness at the same time, where he's like, "I'm gonna tell you a bad joke."
Has a little sparkle in his eye, and I love the little. It's like he'll finish a thought and you'll be like, "Okay, we're going back to the movie," and then he'll seemingly just go like off the cuff. And it's just,
that's another signature. All right, back to the movie. Then he talks for another 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But we are back to the movie now. And, we're doing tequila shots. Here we go.
Oh boy. Now we're talking.
Now, is this your preferred, style of tequila shot?
Is it, salt and lemon and
yes.
shot?
Yes.
I mean, we could do that.
We could, yeah, awesome. I could definitely work with that.
I could fuck with that.
Absolutely. I will say that orange, kind of a good substitute for lemon.
I could see that.
It just, I don't know. It,
those are some pussy shots, though. Ooh,
yeah, they sure are. That's, they're not much behind that. Oh, now we're drinking and smoking. We're really.
I like this chick. She knows what's up.
Yeah.
And the boys are just...
They're playing video games.
Playing video games. In 1983. Like dudes. These bitches horny. Both of them done tried to get laid tonight.
I love it. And
shut down both times.
How about this? In 35 years, how little things have changed.
Right? It's sad.
You get these two dudes just kind of not even so much oblivious as they are disinterested, because you can tell they just take it for granted.
Yeah.
They're going to fucking play video games while the women actually have a good time and party and are actually going to be fun to hang out with.
Exactly.
Sit there and play fucking video games.
Ridiculous.
I mean, I don't even like girls, and come on.
I don't even like girls, and I would fuck with these bitches.
I like you.
Aw, I like you too. You wouldn't play video games if I was doing tequila shots.
Oh, hell no.
That's what I'm talking about.
Not ever. Okay, so now we're...
Another lady trying to get her Mac on.
Yes.
That's another thing I like about this movie. All the ladies trying to get their Mac on.
And this guy's playing around with cordials. Look at him.
Cordials. What is that, banana liqueur?
Yeah. He literally says, he's like, oh, it was a coconut liqueur. Is this amaretto? How do you take that? He like pours it into the lid and tries to take a shot. I was like, what are you doing? And she's got
what kind of fucking goober dudes live in Jacksonville? Shit. I'm just saying.
Look at him. Look at his posture. This is so sad.
It's sad. Let's call him Gomer from now on.
Let's call him Gomer. I like it.
Right. She he is literally, like, tucked into himself, like, mm-hmm. don't touch me.
And she is so DTF. Look at her.
Look at her.
She's got it going on.
She is wearing a pearl necklace. If you need a bigger sign, there ain't one.
Hello? Yeah. Starts out with a literal pearl necklace. She, sending some messages here. She got the hair going on. Black dress.
Oh, she's going to go slip it into something more comfortable, I think.
Yeah, there we go.
That dress is something else.
Mm. I want to say this dude was the makeup and effects guy. I think
really?
Joe Bob told us that at some point. Again, not a name that I know, but I think he was a fairly prominent effects dude in the 80s.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Joe Bob saying that. I didn't realize it was this guy, though.
Yeah, well, it's something about, well, as we're going to see here in a few moments, there's a great reveal coming.
Yes.
As she continues to primp herself and check on her baby, by the way.
Baby. Just, this lady is the ultimate right here.
Mm-hmm.
She set out some cordials.
Yep.
She put on a pearl necklace. Now she has a
Ooh.
A nighty.
Ooh,
and
does she ever.
Trying to shut the baby up so she can get laid.
Hmm. Look at this number. She is, man.
She's a hachi-machi. Hey-shmash.
She is hey-shmash to the extreme. Opens the door. Ah! Yes. We have a severed head greeting her.
Oh my god.
Dripping with blood.
That's fantastic.
Wide-eyed. So apparently the SFX guy got to do a model of his own head.
That's awesome.
That's how I remember that.
How many times does that happen, you know?
I don't know, yeah. Well, and the therapist who got flayed in two was a producer on this film.
Yes, I did remember that.
Yeah, apparently whoever they cast in the first place did not show up, so they just said, fuck it.
I did get worried at that point because he kills the guy and then seemingly kills the mom and then the baby's there crying.
Right.
And I'm like, is he going to kill the baby? Like, I don't think this movie's gonna go there. Like, mm-hmm. So it worried me there for a second.
Yeah. Is that but where you have to draw the line at infanticide?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like, if a lady gets, like, cut in half in the woods, I'm okay with that. But, like, I have some morals, Tim.
Look, if a lady gets cut in half in the woods and there's no one there to see it, does she really get it cut in half?
Oh, so they've got Todd in the twins' room.
Yeah, back in the apartment. He's broken in.
The apartment. Looking around at what should have been his room.
That's right. Uh-oh. Mom is becoming increasingly unglued. Now slumped in the hallway. And, yeah.
God, me and her. Like, she is me when I'm emo.
Kindred spirits?
Yes. Just, like, on the phone.
See?
Drinking now, wine.
Now I'm picturing you in a bathroom sliding down the wall.
Just like, Jenny, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Sliding. All right, so Todd found her, and he's gonna tend to his mother, who's just a mess, and
a hot mess,
a very hot mess. Ah, okay. So now, we're cutting back and forth between Todd and his mother and the friend group who seem to have finally, one of them has finally put two and two together.
Mm-hmm.
And is trying to make time with Fast Julie.
Yeah, Julie, the fun one, Fun Julie. The
fun Julie.
She finally got somebody in the bed, so I'm happy for her.
Mm-hmm. Extracurricular activities for the party major, Julie.
This part is kind of off-putting too. Todd lays the mom down in the bed and she looks up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's just so out of it.
And she thinks it's Terry.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, she's drank far too much. We also saw her taking pills earlier.
I was just wondering, did I hallucinate that part? Like, she looks like she's on pills.
Yeah, yeah. So she is drunk and looted out of her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Ate too much.
Like Tim on Xanax, baby.
I wouldn't know anything about that. Hey, look, so quick aside, quick story. One time, this was one of my ancient friends reminded me of this today. I was wrapping presents in the middle of the day. This was about, 10 years ago, and either had too much to drink or took too many Xanax, and I was listening to music. I had headphones on, had a bunch of shit to wrap, and of course with wrapping paper, you're cutting, you're taping, and you know, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm listening to like Last Christmas. Next thing I know, bitch cuts off on me. I'm like, what the hell? My CD player, just my MP3 player, whatever it was at the time, just stopped. And I literally had cut through my headphones with the scissors. Just.
Last Christmas. What happened?
That's exactly how it went.
I was just jamming to that song. I love that song.
Yep.
Oh, Julie, she didn't get laid. She still got her jeans on.
Yeah.
Ah!
So now they're, yeah, this is a fake jump scare is what this is.
That was weak.
Yeah, that was weak sauce. So they put on a bunch of makeup and bullshit to scare their friends.
Yeah. But they know that the crazy guy's on the loose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know? So, that makeup looks sort of legit.
It is, yeah, pretty convincing. Lord Jesus, Mom is still drinking. She got a second win.
What'd she do, drink herself sober? Like
she
said
drank
earlier?
Herself sober. She actually did lay down. So I...
Yeah, she laid down. All that well, leftovers Thanksgiving.
She didn't so much lay down as she collapsed and was then placed in the bed. We've all been there.
Yep. Look at her. She's just so fucking spaced out.
I mean, this is a very relatable Thanksgiving. Let's face it.
With the murderous twins and the
yes.
The mom. Yeah.
We should stress this all takes place on Thanksgiving night.
I wish you could. I mean, like, I know y'all are now doing that, but my family was looking at me like I was fucking insane because I was just cackling at this movie, and they're everybody's just on their phones, just like every now and then they'll look up when I start hollering or something. But it was just like, when is this shit gonna be over?
You're texting so, people. You won't believe yes, what's going on right now. Like,
this bitch is crazy. And I didn't give two fucks.
Oh, that's the best.
Oh, a nice nude scene there.
Uh-huh, yeah, we got a shower scene. We have a tasteful shower scene.
Mm-hmm, it was tasteful. Like them titties, okay.
Got some side boob, yeah.
Yeah. Another Joe Bob.
Uh-huh, we're now back to Joe Bob. And, yeah, I mean... It sort of makes it easier to watch a movie you would not ordinarily watch when you've got him sort of steering you through it.
Yes, yes. He gives you those little tidbits that interest you, like, and you're like, I got to keep watching so I can, like, see the things that he's referenced.
Yes, yes. And he'll level with you, too. Like, he wasn't mm-hmm. particularly fond of this movie. Like, he didn't totally trash it, but... I think he gave it 2.5 stars, which he...
Two and a half what now?
Stores.
Stores.
He's a practitioner of the store rating. Although his, I believe, cuts off at 4.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he will not go up to 5 stars.
Hmm, 5 stores. Interesting.
As we do in the wrestling business. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he gave this one a mere 2.5, and... He's just very honest with you about it. So, at this point, he is no doubt telling us about the special effects artist and Louise Lasser and her great career, how she would get typecast from here on,
mm-hmm.
how this contributed to that. So, he also has some words of wisdom about the 80s. And how they were not that great for people who lived them.
What?
But he understands his audience has very nostalgic memories of the 80s.
What are you thinking about this this refrigerator here on the set with mm-hmm. all the paraphernalia and magnets?
Yeah, very, very festive for Thanksgiving. He used to have just one of those old school, like, ice boxes type
mm-hmm.
refrigerators on Monster Vision. So he has modernized that a little bit. You know, it's no longer 1950 with his refrigerator. Now it is 1980, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're back to the movie. Mom is
well...
on the phone.
One of us is. There we go. I'll need another timestamp, Will.
Okay. I have got 1:14:25. Shall I pause this time?
No, you're good.
Okay.
1:14. Okay, 1:14, here we go. It's just one of those little quirks of Southern internet. You know how that goes.
Yes. Sometimes time advances. Sometimes it gets compressed.
Mm-hmm. And -2 sometimes, so, you know.
That is an inside
reference. Oh, my God.
Reference.
She's screaming into the phone. I love it.
Yes, she's screaming at the operator.
She's past, like, glassy-eyed stares.
Won't someone listen to me? I'm begging you.
into full-on hysteria. And so instead of fucking, mm-hmm. this couple is going to go play tennis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they started out getting real familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of had some dry hump action going on. Mm-hmm. And now they've taken it to the tennis courts. I don't know, man.
I got nothing. Why?
Yeah. It's sad.
I mean, if you want to play with balls.
Right?
Just play balls.
They're right there in front of you.
Yeah. You don't need to go to the tennis court. I mean, you could fuck on the tennis court if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
The bright as shit tennis court in the middle of the night.
Yes. In the middle of the night on a holiday.
Yes. In the middle of a apartment complex.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I did kind of think this was headed towards fuckage on the tennis court.
Yeah, yeah.
But, no. They tease us. And don't deliver.
Nope. They give us a scene later.
Mm-hmm. They do, yeah.
That's probably better than tennis court.
Probably so, yeah. Could have gone for a little bit more, but, you know, it's a two-and-a-half-star movie, so.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Why does her shirt say physical on it?
Well, because she's going to get physical. The score in this film is pretty decent. It's that sort of John Carpenter influence synth thing going on, which we can't hear, but I just remembered and wanted to point out. Helps propel the action a little bit.
Yeah, I like the music.
Mm-hmm. It's also very like 8-bit video game sort of deal.
Yeah.
But okay. We're back to Mom on the phone, one of her great phone scenes.
I love that couch.
Her lovely couch. I was going to point out.
You know, it looks comfy.
Mm-hmm.
It's wide. It has a real wide seat at the bottom.
Oh, yeah. A lot of room to spread out.
That pattern sure is something.
It's very Florida.
Yeah, it is. Very All Florida. Of our houses have that motif here in Florida.
Are you required to purchase a couch like this once you move to Florida?
Pretty much. Okay. Yeah, you are. They come to your house once a year and check.
Yes, you have annual inspections.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
Does it have to be red or can it be just any floral pattern?
Like sunset colors, you know, this is a sunshine state. Mm. So, you know, you could do a nice orange,
gotcha.
Yellow, burnt sienna.
Burnt
there
thunder.
We go. Finally Ooh. Some fuckage.
Mm-hmm.
On the diving board at the pool.
Fucking on the diving board.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty hot.
It's rather hash-mash.
Yeah.
Oh!
Until
so rudely interrupted.
just oh my god.
Mm. Yeah, so Terry has come upon this scene of lasciviousness and just started hacking away.
And his machete arm's gotten quite a bit swifter as we've gone along.
This is a good point, yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty on the mark there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe
you know, that's interesting, their positioning on the diving board, because you would think that would be sort of
uncomfortable?
Well, yeah. Well, I guess it couldn't do doggy because, like, it would hurt your knees because it's all, like, textured or whatever.
I was about to say, the textured diving board would kind of grind into you,
right? Yeah, it would scrape up your knees. So maybe missionary is...
Yeah, because you've got more of your weight distributed over
right.
the entirety. But if, you know, if somebody's pounded, well,
It was quite a bit slower. I mean, nobody was pounding anything.
No, they weren't, yeah. Maybe they started out a little more hot and heavy, and then it...
Right, yeah. Maybe they were done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that seems accurate.
Hmm. But what about, you know, the diving board has some give to it, you know, so you kind mm-hmm. of, how would that work?
It seems like, yeah, it would be, you'd have to time that,
would it,
right?
Would it be like, complementary to the strokes, you know, as you go to
you
town?
Would think it would be.
Yeah. Huh. Clearly, neither one of us has experience in this realm, so.
Yeah, no, did not.
Okay. All right, so.
Oh, shit.
We've got Karen and the friend of Terry here, the other guy, who is.
The not dead.
The not dead Shouterhead, who is acknowledged as, like, Terry's best friend, sort mm-hmm. of.
Trying to hit on his girl, yes.
Yeah, yeah, they were kind of going somewhere with that, and mm-hmm. Terry busted in on it, and they have no idea that Terry's been on a little killing spree here.
This is like the only sort of scary, quote unquote, scary parts is just how easily he just mm-hmm. just disassociates from everything he's done.
Exactly.
The whole night, and just acts normal. But
yeah.
he's crazy as fuck, so
yeah,
I mean, it also yeah. Checks out.
You know what this is? Like, well, I'll get to that. Let's keep monitoring this situation. I'm gonna put a pin in that one.
All right, well, let's make sure we circle back to it, okay?
We will have to circle back, because right now we've got Todd, who is confronting the friend in the convertible here. With the gun that he retrieved.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Oh. Back at whom?
He's trying to tell him the truth, right?
Yeah.
In the car? Yeah, mm-hmm. okay.
And
this the guy looks like Jerry Seinfeld to me, but anyway.
Yeah, he kind of does. A younger Jerry Seinfeld.
So now Karen might get her...
Mm-hmm.
Freak on.
Necking back at the house, Terry yep. and Karen. He took the cushions off the...
He sure did.
Back
he means
couch.
Business.
Yeah. They got a lot of room to spread out.
Yeah, they do.
Shoes on the couch, not a fan.
Does that trigger you?
Yep. You go on record there.
Shoes on the couch.
Bothered me. Not just my couch, anyone's couch. Come on.
Just anybody's.
We've all seen the Chappelle Show couch sketch.
Fuck your couch.
Yeah.
Oh, the twins have just seen each other for the first time.
Right. Yeah. Dramatic confrontation.
In which... Todd runs the fuck away.
Yes, Todd quite literally could not pull the trigger.
Mm-mm. And once again, my girl left high and dry.
Mm-hmm.
Or low and wet.
Low and... Yes.
You're probably wet, sure, but...
Oh, yeah. So, Terry is now showing his best friend literally a bag of killing implements.
Murder weapons.
Yeah.
This is one of the... is it this one? Yeah, it's got to be this one that's awkward as shit. Yeah. What is this giant machete doing there?
What would this be doing in a bag?
That's not cranberry sauce.
There's another that's not cranberry sauce line.
Fork to the neck, bitch.
Just like that.
God damn.
Pretty good kill.
I like it.
Pretty creative kill, because not just a machete now.
I love the way he's looking at the fork. Like, oh my god, this shit is gonna be awesome.
Yes.
It's just like, I'm gonna fucking murder this guy.
Hyping himself up.
He was. God, I hope other people watch this movie. I really
yeah,
do.
Yeah, that's my fear, is no one's actually going to watch this thing.
I mean,
problem.
Just please do.
Mm-hmm. We're trying
y'all
to...
Y'all know me. Y'all know my taste, and I'm crazy as shit, but, you know, it's not boring. Yes. It's fun.
Let us be your guides through this thing yes. that you would never watch otherwise. And we're back to Joe Bob.
Yeah, I think this might be his last break-in. No, there might be another one.
Probably, yeah, probably one more here. But yeah, I mean, this is the thing. Like, you get into a certain rhythm, and you know when these breaks are going to come, right? Mm-hmm. And it lets you kind of regain your composure in a way, and refresh and reset, mm-hmm. and learn a little bit more about this movie. And I don't know. I wonder what people who are older than me, what their recollections of like Monster Vision and even his earlier shows would be. You know, it's like, I just figure you're working B shift, you get home on Friday, Saturday night or whatever, you're kind of beat, but you want to watch something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the options that you do today, of course, so what are you going to do? Oh, look, here's a Friday the 13th marathon. Here's It's Alive 3, Island of the Alive. I mean, I don't know. What the
Swamp
hell?
Swamp Thing.
Here's Swamp Thing, yes. Where you can see some, who was it, Adrian Barbeau, Hashmash.
Yeah.
I kind of like that for a Swamp Thing. And, yeah, you're just going to throw it on and watch it. You're exhausted. You're going to have a beer, but you're not really in party mode, you know?
Right.
Because if you right. were, you'd be out.
It's just, it's entertaining, but it's just like brain candy, you know, like
yeah.
this is sweet and fun and yep. I don't have to think too much.
Exactly. So I have so many, I was a child. So again, as, yeah. as we mentioned earlier, you can't really go out anyway on weekends. Your nights are pretty much like your privileges are basically hey, I get to stay up late. So
right.
what are you going to do when you have this, you know, on a weekend, it's like, I can read comics. I can watch movies. I can, you know, it's just
play video games.
I can play video games.
Take tequila shots.
Yeah, yeah. You sort of have to draw the line somewhere. And yeah, for me it was Monster Vision. And he would show two movies, right? And it was kind of like anything goes, as he has explained in sort of retrospectives. It was like, as long as he was off the air at, I think, 3 or 4 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
they didn't really care how long it went.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, and certainly they had content limitations. Couldn't see full-bore violence like you get on Shudder, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
The language was cut down, mm-hmm. but he kind of got away with a lot, a lot more than you would expect for a TNT program. You know,
that
late,
is true. I never really thought about that. But that's
late
very
at
true.
Night, and it basically he would basically be given, you know, you can't say these specific things,
right?
And he was like, all right, so he would say anything but that, and they'd be like, whoa, 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 you can't say that either. So.
He was going to say what he was going to say.
He was going to say what he's going to say. We are seeing that famous exterior shot once again.
Yes.
With Karen walking away, looking very pensive and anxious.
And doesn't give a shit about anybody that might be asleep in this apartment complex. Just.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
You know, just screaming her fucking head off.
Yeah, very loudly.
This is one of my favorite misses of his, because he tries hard to kill her and fails many times. And this swipe that he takes at her with this machete is hilarious.
Yeah. He just confirmed once again that it was not cranberry sauce. If there's any confusion.
Oh gosh, I gotta mute it. I forgot. All right. So he's like, all right, I wasn't gonna kill you, but like, I probably will. I'm gonna try to kill you right now.
Yeah. So half-hearted.
This is rough.
This bridge that we've seen so much of, they've got like three sets basically in the movie.
Yeah, basically.
You get sort of comfortable with them, you know, you get acquainted.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're sad when they aren't there.
What's your favorite? Mine is the couch, probably. The
couch is a good one. I mean, I do like that bridge.
Yeah, I like the bridge. I like that little patio. Oh. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Go hide in the closet, babe.
Anything with a sliding glass door, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so she's hiding in the closet. Could not break in to this random person's home. Despite banging on the door.
And also, somebody was murdered here earlier. The pot smoking guy, and there's blood all over that blanket. He's like, I already cut a bitch here earlier, so you're not getting away from me.
Yeah, we're officially, folks, into the chase sequence of the movie.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's a long time coming, really, but mm-hmm. worth it, though. Oh, mom's on the phone still.
Imagine that.
I forget who she's even talking to.
Wrong number. I mean, literally, she finally gets through to someone. She's like, oh, thank God. Tells them the whole story, and they go, who is this?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
He's losing it.
Yeah, he's now staged the scene. He's brought out the bodies for her to see. Did not go for the kill when he had the chance.
Mm-mm. He was too busy playing with the corpse.
Yeah, too busy doing jazz hands with the corpse.
Also, how did he get him there in that amount of time?
I know.
He would have had to drag him all the way from the woods.
That's great question. She's still banging on people's doors.
Yes. Apparently, they slept through all her yelling earlier.
Uh-huh.
Except for the little girl. She's still up.
Yes, here we go. Here's the payoff to the little girl scene from earlier. Except she is heeding the advice given to her by the good twin, Todd. She's like, no, there's bad people out there. I'm not going to answer the door.
She knows what's up, at least.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is a good call. Doesn't do Karen here any favors, but oh well.
Oh, Internet, you're wonderful. You're not ruining my podcast at all.
Oh, are you skipping? Are you buffering?
Buffering.
Your real player is buffering. Well, I'm going to pause it here. And
no, you keep going, babe.
All right, I'll keep going then. Carry this thing along as your real player gets it together.
You're my number one wingman.
I got you. So, all right. She is now in the apartment of the couple that was murdered earlier with the infant. We've got a bra on the lampshade, and she has just discovered the baby. She's literally running through these people's apartment going, I hear your baby. Can you help me? Can you help me? Is anyone here?
Crappy Southern Internet, I wish you would get macheted by one of these evil twins.
Yes. Technical difficulties aside, we are seeing this through to the finish here. Karen is on the red phone, and she is about to get macheted, which is dripping with fresh blood.
Are you sure it's not cranberry sauce?
It doesn't taste like cranberry sauce.
No, that's true, doesn't it?
No.
And it's not all, like, shaped like a can and jelly-like.
The congealed cranberry sauce, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's sort of one of those things where it's always on the table, but you're never a fan.
Like, oh, fuck that shit.
Nobody eats it, so.
No. That was weak, man, because She was right there cowering, and he lets her get away with a baby this time.
Yeah, the at this point, like, the whole cat and mouse thing that this turns into is, I don't know, it they sort of pushed their luck a little too far, as we're gonna see here shortly. But we have cut away now to the mom once again.
She's got the wine munchies in the fridge again.
Got the munchies. She's throwing things out. She's had a hell of a night.
I know, right?
Let's face it.
She done been through some shit.
Again, it's sort of this fever dream, anxiety dream playing out. And,
she digging in the trash for?
She is.
She's
made a discovery in the garbage.
The garbage.
A bloody Izod Lacoste polo shirt.
Oh, no.
Yep. She has to face it now. Terry looking very prep, very chipper.
Just so weird. He's so excited for everything. Oh my gosh. I love it when they set up the kills and then people find them.
I know.
That's my jam.
This is Louise's fiance.
She doesn't see the blood everywhere. She keeps talking to him.
Yeah, who she has just come upon here. I mean, yeah, there's blood everywhere. She was pounding on the glass to get in, then realized it was unlocked. Great little touch there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is, one of his hands is gone, covered in blood. He slumps. Oh.
There's blood everywhere.
He's been filleted like a fish.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Head splits open. How about it?
Love it. Oh my goodness.
Karen is now at the pool with the baby.
Cause, yeah.
That's what you do.
That's what you do.
An indoor pool, mind you. Which we've seen. I mean, this is one of the... I said three settings. I guess four settings. Here's a pool. Terry on the diving board behind her. And this was the point where I was like, okay, this is just Looney Tunes now.
Yeah, yeah. Alright, what's your timestamp again?
1:39:20.
Alright, yeah, I didn't have too far off.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
I mean, really, and he keeps popping up, he's like, hi! Hey! Yeah.
It's like, he's like the worst, like,
chase. Why did I say that like Jerry Seinfeld in B-movie? Hi!
B-movie! Oh, Tim.
I'm here to kill you. Okay.
Oh, you're going to have to carry me through the rest of this thing because my... internet's not gonna do it.
Alright, well, we're in the washroom now, and Terry is cackling away. He's muttering to himself. Now using the urinal. I mean, he's very casual about this whole kill.
I was dying laughing.
I just... It's, you know, like I said, a little bit protracted, this whole sequence, and doesn't take itself too seriously.
But it oddly does. Like, it goes from, like, campy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the mom, like, her whole vibe throws it off quite a bit.
It does, yeah. You almost get the sense she feels like she's maybe in a different movie.
A little bit, yeah.
But, I mean, slashers were a thing by 1983. She has to know...
Mm-hmm.
What she signed up for. We have a cutaway to Joe Bob now.
Okay,
so
got it.
He's chattering away. And I think we are going to see the new male girl.
Darcy.
Yes, Darcy. She has not come on yet, but I feel like we see her before the conclusion here.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
But as far as this movie, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's been a little bit flat, if that makes... Like, there's really good kills. Like,
oh, definitely.
You know, like, they put all of their effort into their kills. They know where... that's the dance that brung them, right? And mm-hmm, they get that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the rest of it just is sort of flat. Doesn't have a ton of... Like, they try. There's little hints of character here and there, but... Mm-hmm. It's sort of maybe less than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, the mom definitely is trying to elevate things. But when you have that level of camp in the kills,
mm-hmm,
it's, you know...
And then the whole demeanor of the killer.
Towards the end, you know, at the end, it does do a real interesting thing.
Oh, yeah.
That we'll talk about, but...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's definitely, mixed. Like, I like it because I'm me, but mm-hmm, as, like, you know, trying to be for real,
it's an easy movie to watch. Like, you'd never, sure, no one would ever put it up as one of their favorite horror movies, but it does kind of fall into that camp of guilty pleasures.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say that for it. And it, I mean, there's a high body count for a movie, mm-hmm, like this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is kind of up there with, you know, your more iconic slasher stuff. Like, I would say it keeps pace with a Friday the 13th.
For sure.
A Halloween, a Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
So, good stuff. And again, I am not entirely sure what Joe Bob is talking about, but I will just say that, and we have pointed this out previously, but the first film they showed as part of the Dinners of Death marathon was Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which he said was his favorite movie of all time ever, and was the first time he had ever been able to present it in a format like this. So... could not show it on Monster Vision for somewhat obvious reasons. Did not show it on his movie channel program. And I'm just so happy for the guy, you know.
Me too.
To be able to share your passion with the world. I guess it makes up for having to show some somewhat subpar films that, let's face it, we're kind of at the mercy of what Shudder can get the rights to.
Right.
And it can license here.
But what are your thoughts on Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Oh God, I love it.
Yeah, I had seen it long time ago. Like, basically watching it the other night was pretty much like the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fucked up movie.
It is such a fucked up. I mean, it breaks so many rules.
Yeah, I mean,
you talk about next level. Yeah, and you and Stacey talked about, like, when you covered Scream from, what, 1996?
Mm-hmm.
How transgressive that was and mm-hmm, had that meta element to it where it's just calling out all of these things that it's doing and how it's breaking these rules. And I'm like, mm-hmm, shit, this movie from the 70s kind of did it first.
Yeah. Now, that's a legit scary movie. Like,
oh, my God.
And with amazing kills, but, mm-hmm, like... fucking terrifying, though.
And without a lot of graphic violence at the same time. For something called Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, my lord.
And dudes wearing skin on their face and shit, like other people's faces.
But,
all right,
you know, gets the violence across without the...
gore.
Yeah, without the gore. We're back to the movie, yes.
Yep.
Louise Lasser now. With the gun in hand, she's getting serious.
Yeah, she's think she's had her full break now. You know?
Yeah. Putting on her best cry face.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just run down, exhausted.
I don't understand Terry here, because obviously he knew she was hiding in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
He's really put no real effort into killing her. Like, It's half-hearted at best. Does he really want to kill her? Is he just playing with her?
That's, yeah. I mean, and you knew, he had to have known she was in the storage closet earlier as well. And that one you could kind of overlook on the basis of, well, he wanted to toy with her a little bit.
Right.
And now it's just getting, again, it's Looney Tunes. It's sort of ridiculous. So
we have Todd and Terry face to face.
Yeah, confrontation here.
They're going to knock down, drag out.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have some creative editing.
Yes.
Well, not exactly creative, but maybe slick.
Yeah.
Let's just say there's not any green screen here in this movie.
Smart to put them in the pool, though. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to have a double to do that scene, smart to put them in the pool.
That's right.
Splashing.
Uh-huh. And it's rule of pool. I mean, if you've got a pool, you got to use it.
Yeah. All right. Mama has seen her boys together now.
Oh, yes. Oh, here we go.
And she has her gun.
And this is where my theory...
Oh. Shoots him in the chest.
Gosh. Can you believe it? That's her blue boy.
Yeah, that's... And she just shot Terry.
She shot Terry, the killer.
And she shoots him in the eye, and he doesn't die. I don't understand.
Yeah,
he puts his hands up.
Shoots him a couple times here.
Yeah. So odd.
The way this is filmed is so unusual.
It is.
Like, you've got a lot going on in the frame. You've got Karen tending to the good brother Todd, Mom shooting Terry, and Terry is filmed from the back, and she's just kind of riddling him with bullets.
And then Karen just walks the fuck out.
Yeah.
After somebody got shot.
Uh-huh, kind of tiptoes.
She just witnessed a murder on top of everything else.
Well,
and then she just leaves.
She stashed the baby somewhere earlier. So
oh, yeah, that's probably where she's going.
Might be a good
okay, you're smart, Karen. I'll give you that one.
Might be a good idea to tend to that.
So here's the scene where I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Because Mom is now cradling Todd.
Yes.
But she's calling him Terry.
Yes. We get what I think is a double swerve in the conclusion of this movie, where she gunned down Terry, which was very unexpected.
Right.
No one saw that coming. But, come to find out, she thinks it is Todd. That she will not give up this illusion in her mind that Terry is the perfect son.
And it looks like they're going to make out right then.
Yes. Yeah, you're literally sitting here watching it going, and now kiss.
Kiss. I mean, that's exactly what it looks like.
Even though it's so disgusting.
And that's when it dawns on you that she's had this incestuous relationship with Terry this whole time.
Without spelling it out explicitly.
Right.
They get that across.
And he tells her, I'm Todd.
I'm Todd.
And she just loses her mind. She can't handle it.
Yep. She is not the hero we thought she was.
No.
At all.
See, that's when this movie, it's like you said, it's that swerve where you just start rethinking everything.
And
like, as
clicks.
Much fun as you've had watching the movie, and now you're like, fuck.
It just sort of clicks together.
Yeah.
Because you weren't really reading it on that level before.
You weren't. I wasn't. Definitely not.
I mean, as kind of weird as their relationship seemed to be, you still weren't like, okay, that's not what the movie is going for.
Right.
But yeah, it was. Like,
oh, and now she has her final breakdown, mm-hmm. and it is final.
Oh, very, very final.
Because she turns the gun on herself and shoots herself off camera.
Unreal.
Right in front of old Karen and the baby.
Mm-hmm. And here's where I guess I will unleash my, I don't know, my premise.
Yes.
That I put a pin in earlier.
Yes.
So this movie is basically just Psycho with twins. And I sort of got the sense that instead of doing like, what was it? Bates Motel, the series.
Mm-hmm.
You could have got a series out of this thing. I mean,
I could see that. I could see that for sure.
It's a sort, it's, I mean, this movie as source material is something that is a deep cut that
mm-hmm.
no one really would have ever seen, but there's something to build off of here. You could get a lot of drama out of the whole social dynamics of the bad twin and his friend and his whacked out brother who's in the institution but is actually innocent, and then flashbacks to their childhood and why are they like this, and
yeah,
maybe chill on the incest a little bit.
You could, you know, find out their father, who, because I don't mm-hmm. guess they referenced no, him at all.
Never did.
Let's
give us the mythology of blood right. rage here.
Blood rage 2, the ragening.
The ragening, yes.
Low.
Come on, Netflix.
Low just... and wet.
Rode hard and put up wet.
Oh, man.
But, right? I mean, this is, you yeah. know, you can do a Bates Motel thing.
It is. And I'm glad you said that, because, I mean, that should be an obvious comparison, but...
Who would play the twins?
Oh.
I mean, I know it's my premise, but I didn't
yeah.
give that much thought to it. God, who would play the mom, for that matter? We will ponder that.
And yeah, we will.
You know what? Maybe we can outsource that.
Yeah, somebody tweet me.
Twitter.
I'm at Jenny Cruz 2814. Tim, where are you at on Twitter?
I am at Psyke68, Cyke68 on Twitter. And that's about the only place you'll find me on social.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're on the Place to Be Nation comics page on Facebook.
Sometimes I am. We do have a Place to Be Nation comics page on Facebook. But, you know, just have to hit it at the right time of day, the right topic. But mm-hmm, I do check mm-hmm. in.
X-Men, yeah. I'm probably going to get you to talk on there.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah, you could mm-hmm. definitely bait me with some X-Men stuff.
Just
no one ever does it, though. It's all... Never mind.
It's all guysinsweatpants.com.
Okay, yes, yeah, so you'll find.
Oh, that's
there as
where
well.
Else you could find that.
Yes, of course. Which guy in sweatpants should play the twins?
The one in that. Okay, never mind.
See, now we're telling tales out of school.
Oh my gosh. Well, how did you enjoy your trip to the drive-in?
Oh, very much so. I love this concept. I am so happy that the drive-in will never die. And
yes.
Joe Bob Briggs and Shudder are seeing to that. I don't care how shitty the movie is, if it's presented by JBB,
mm-hmm.
I will show up for it. Absolutely.
Same. Me too. Well, thanks for hanging out with me and watching it. There's nobody else I would watch a movie like this with, except for my family, who's all on their phones.
You will subject your family to it. You will invite me to join you, because we are somewhat of the same mind. Hey, wait a minute, though.
What?
Before we get out of here, what do you think of the new male girl, Darcy?
I like her.
You like
she has a very interesting look.
She does.
she, but she owns it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
She obviously is into cosmetic surgery, and sure,
as you do.
Yeah, I mean, but she owns it. She,
I'd love to be into cosmetic surgery if I could afford it.
Right. Mm. But she's smart, you know, she, mm-hmm. She has a good rapport with Joe Bob. He, seems like sort of, confused and,
befuddled.
Yeah. Befuddled by her, but also sort of delighted by her,
yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think he enjoys her. So that it comes across quite a bit.
Right.
She is,
go ahead.
During the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, she said that she liked the remake better than better than the original, and mm-hmm. I thought he was gonna lose his shit.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
I kind of thought she was just trolling him when she said that.
She might have been.
yeah, she's somewhat of a departure from Mill Girl's past.
Yes,
you know, he had. I think they were all either blondes or redheads, weren't they?
I believe so.
And I remember the first one was named Honey, and she was named Honey because he wanted to be able to call her Honey without getting in trouble for it because her name was actually Honey.
Honey.
he had one named Rusty.
Mm-hmm.
He had one, I think he had one named Reno.
Reno?
I don't know why that sticks in my mind, but... Hmm. Those are the ones I can remember. So Darcy is somewhat different. She is a brunette. He refers to her as an elder millennial, which
yes.
I think is quite funny. And she owns that. So
she
good
does.
Times. Good times with the drive-in. The last drive-in.
I should get a male boy. What do you think?
Oh, okay.
Mm.
Who's going to be your hash-mash male boy?
I don't know.
Hmm. I mean, you could have your pick. I mean, carte blanche here, yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, it's keeping with the theme of Thanksgiving. I mean, come on. Anyone to your heart's desire.
All right. Well, this is my official announcement that I'm accepting applications for a male boy.
Ooh, for the Haish-Mash. You got to be Haish-Mash, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're not, then mm-hmm. sorry.
Just understand, I mean, you might think you're Haish-Mash, but
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
just, I mean, this is a bona fide occupational qualification.
Right, and, you know, just to be clear, I'm not basing my selection on anything other than looks.
Yes.
So, like, you can be dumb.
Right, right.
Barely literate. So, mm-hmm. you know, as long as you are cute.
Yeah.
And have Skype.
And, I mean...
Those are my qualifications.
Male boy, I mean, you say barely literate, but still right. literate.
Well, I mean, you could hand me the letter, you know what I'm saying? Or
okay.
email me the letter,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
I could just read it. So that you don't even have to worry about it.
Gotcha, yeah. gotcha. Oh, here we see Darcy, who is... here we go. So it's at the end of the movie. She is cosplaying as... Ted Raimi, the slimy condom salesman.
Yes. It's
she's
great.
Like, what are you dressed as?
It's so great.
She's like, hello. Pulls it off well.
Boy, she's wearing that dress.
yep. Oh, my. So, well done, Joe Bob and Shudder.
Love it.
The feast, the dinners of death. Why do I keep saying feast? The dinners of death. We supposedly have another special coming up for Christmas time. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see. I cannot imagine what holiday Christmas themed movies he will unleash upon the world.
I can't wait to find out.
Me too.
All right. Night.
Good night, Jenny. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here. Love you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.